Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI, Real Estate on Air.
All right, welcome back, you guys, to Feeling Lucky. Every week we come on Thursday mornings at 8:30 Eastern Standard to bring you a phenomenal top agent in our industry who has gotten lucky in the field of real estate. As you all know, it's not luck. It's because they had hard work and perseverance. So today we have Teresa Pastor on. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give a little bit of information. If you guys don't know Teresa, we're going to go into it. So Teresa actually started her first business at the age of 19 and has been living that entrepreneurial lifestyle ever since, which anybody who's an entrepreneur totally gets it. She even sold her first company in 2009. In addition to that, she is also a healer, especially of herself. She actually healed herself holistically from Lyme disease and heart failure, with five kids in tow, being a single mom. That alone, and we'll dive a little bit into that today. In addition to that, she's been a real estate agent for 13 years, a broker for six, and this is one of the biggest things. She doubled her income and revenue in just 1 year. She has had several awards for capping and production and being one of the top producers in her state, which is Louisiana, and finished the 75 hard this year, which I have not made it through, mostly because I do love local beer. That's my everything but that. And last year she sold almost 70 units or 70 homes, including six flips in 6 months while opening a wholesale division. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm like, damn, she's got another flip. I love this. So welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm feeling lucky today because I get to talk to you today. So that's pretty awesome.
I love it. So tell us a little bit of you. I mean, you've got a lot that we can talk about, obviously. Mm-hmm. So on this program, of course, we talk about some of the challenges that you've had. And if anybody heard that, there's been plenty of challenges that you've overcome. So that's big. But let's start with you getting ready to get into real estate. I kind of want to talk about that. You've been an entrepreneur for so long. What made you want to switch gears and get into real estate? Like, what was your other entrepreneurial background that you were like, you know what, real estate's what I want to do?
It's kind of a funny story, and it's definitely it wasn't planned necessarily. Before I was in real estate, actually right before I was, in the company that I sold, I was big into extreme couponing, believe it or not, before it was a thing. So I don't know if you remember those shows about extreme couponing. Oh, so yeah. I had a website and I had a segment on one of the local news channels, and I would, you know, show people how to save money and all this stuff. And I had a little article in the paper every week and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. But then in 2009, my husband at the time lost his job, because, you know, everything was crashing and his industry was dying. And I had a real estate license. So I decided that I was going to start doing real estate. But the reason I had the real estate license in the first place was because there was a lady, a friend of the family, that was from Thailand. And she was really wanting to have a brokerage that assisted people going back and forth from Thailand, because she had connections there and she's from there. And so she kind of sold us, a bunch of us, a group of us all, on the dream of being able to sell property back and forth. And we all went to real estate school together, and we all passed except for her because of the language barrier. So she never got it off the ground. She kept trying, but, you know, it is a very difficult language barrier. And so I had this license and my husband lost his job. So I was like, well, guess I'm going to be a real estate agent today. So So that's what happened. And then it was, you know, I just had to take it and run because I didn't really have any other options at the time. I had my business and it was, you know, it made minimal money online. I've always loved doing things online, but not enough to support our family. So that's when I started. Of course, the first year was not pleasant.
You know, great timing too for the market. Anybody that can remember what that was like, not exactly the easiest time to get into real estate. So tell us what that first year really looked like. Cause you, I mean, you came into it kind of like, well, I've got this license in my back pocket. I might as well. What was your plan? How did that look? Like, what did you do?
I'm like, did I have a plan? I don't know. Yeah. It was just kind of like,
I'm just going to keep going until something works.
Yeah. So I really just like hit the ground running because I knew that I had to do something. My husband wasn't working anymore. And I think he was probably going through some depression because of what was happening. He didn't want to get out of his field and take another position. Yeah. So he was kind of stuck. And so I was just like, all right, I'm just going to go. So that's what I did. I just went and I hustled and I did the best I could. First year for everybody is difficult because you're starting a business. That's one thing that I feel like, you know, real estate agents don't understand in the beginning. This isn't a job. You're not going to start making money right away. This is a business. There's marketing, there's sales, there's, you know, operations, there's accounting.
All the hats.
In the first year, you're wearing all of those hats and you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to, you know, throw spaghetti at a wall and you're going to all of these trainings, trying to listen to people that have done it before you. And you're just trying to figure out your flow. And so the first year I might've made $25,000 or something like that. Like it was terrible, but fortunately I had some savings to kind of fall back on that year before I kind of figured things out. But and then also being in the middle of the crash, I was taking classes on how to do short sales and learning about foreclosures and stuff because that seemed to be where things were headed, you know, at the time. So I took advantage of that and I feel like I'm an expert on that. Not that I want to do them every day, but if I need to do them, I can do them, you know.
Well, and that's, I think I'm going to point that out too. If nobody caught that, pivot. And that's one thing a lot of agents, even the last 3 years have done is that pivot. Like when Corona hit, it was crap, everything shut down. How do we do client events? How do we do this? How do we get more clients in the door? You know, how are we servicing properly? Cause we can't physically be there. And the teams and the agents that pivoted had some of their best years ever. Right. But the ones that were like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to sit or I'm going to pull back or I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. Some of them did go out of business, even though it was a very profitable year for everybody, at least in real estate, it was a huge shift. So yeah, I wanted to just point that out. Congrats on pivoting. And it probably made you probably one of the leading experts in that area in that time because most people were running away.
Yeah, nobody wanted to do that because to them, it's like a lot of work and it is a lot of paperwork, but it's really not that complicated. You know, you just have to do it and it can be time consuming, but as long as you're setting expectations for buyers and sellers on timeframes, then it's not that bad, you know?
Once you know the process, I feel like it's a lot easier. The process of it, I think, is the toughest part because you're going back and forth. I've got a couple and you're going back and forth with the bank over and over and over. So yeah, I totally get it. So tell us about this. Coming into real estate, obviously you are now quite successful. But take us back a little bit. So I had shared with everybody that's watching a little bit about your past of healing and being sick. I mean, I want to express here that you've made that a part of your brand, right? Because you know I teach people this. Your brand is you. Like your brand is what people think of when they think of you. And you've always been very giving and forthcoming. You know, bone broth when people were sick with Corona, sharing the information and knowledge you've learned. So tell us a little bit about that struggle at that time in your life. And how do you feel that that has helped you as an agent and in your business?
Very interesting question, but very important question. So back in 2011, I was starting to get pretty sick. I had two episodes. And the first time was in 2010. I was doing like P90X. But then I saw a few doctors. They didn't know what was going on. They thought I had mono. They were like, go home, rest. So I would like nap in my car during inspections and stuff. And yeah, like whatever I had to do, I'd nap in. And I even brought like a recliner into my office so I could nap whenever. So I just kind of like nap in between stuff. And but they were like, just rest and it'll get better. And it did. But then the next year I started doing CrossFit. And you know, between like the stress of work and like relationship stress and all this stuff, and then the physical stress, that's when my body just gave in to Lyme disease. And that's a complicated disease to talk about, because I think that it was probably in my system for a long time. It's just that all the stress,
you actually got it.
Yeah. So all that physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress, all at the same time was kind of, I think, the breaking point.
Yeah.
And I remember going to CrossFit and like saying, you know, I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. Like something's wrong. And they're like, well, just eat more carbs. So I'd come the next day, I ate more carbs. And I'd come the next day, I ate more carbs. Like, it's not working. The carbs aren't working. I remember her saying to me, she was a dietitian too. I remember the coach saying to me, I hate to tell you this, but you have an autoimmune disorder. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Like, I don't,
so nothing in my history, you know, I mean, everything about everything I did was healthy. I thought I ate healthy and everything. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But eventually, you know, after many doctors and finally an ENT sent me to have the testing, and voila, I came up positive. And I was like, sweet, give me whatever pill, whatever shot, like, let's get this going. I need to knock this out of my system. I got stuff to do. And they're like, well, it's really not that simple. And so from there, it was probably about a year battle. At first I was having to go out of state to see doctors. I was basically given like ibuprofen for a month straight, twice a day. So I would have, and I didn't have insurance at the time because I was a new real estate agent, right? So my mom was a nurse, and she would come and she'd give me an IV, and we'd leave it in until my vein would blow. Then we'd move it. And I just looked terrible. I had like marks all over me. And I mean, but I just got even sicker from the medicine. The medicine was making me even sicker. And when, like, there was a period of time between when the doctor here actually shut down her practice, and I had to start seeing a guy in Dallas, and I was not on medication at the time. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. Just let me die. Like, if this is my time, let me go. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. Just let me die. And I ended up meeting the holistic practitioner that I always rave about, Brandon Alamaugh. And, you know, he was like, you know, there's a better way. And so he taught me everything that I needed to do. And a lot of it was nutrition based. The majority of it, there were some supplements and things like that, but it took about 6 months of being extremely diligent every single day and not going outside of this protocol that he gave me to be able to get better. And it took me about 6 months to get better. I got better faster than all of the other patients that were on medication, which is amazing. I don't have any long-term side effects from the medication, which is also great. And that's, I really awesome, don't have any symptoms anymore. And it's been over 10 years since I've had any symptoms. So that was a really, really hard time. One wonderful thing about that time was that, I guess, because I had given so much to the community, people came out of the woodwork to help me. It was very strange. People made food for me. They knew that I was like on a paleo diet. They knew my diet was very, very specific to this holistic protocol. And they would make this food for me and bring it to me. It was amazing. People would just come sit in bed with me, you know? And so I think that was awesome. You know, people coming out to help. And fortunately, my mom being a nurse, otherwise I don't really know where I would be if it weren't for the community that kind of popped up to help out, help with kids, help with laundry. Cause I really did get to a point where I couldn't even walk anymore. I would, I could walk from probably like, you know, from the bed to the bathroom and back. But I was very frustrated because I would try to like go from the bed to say do laundry or something to feel productive. And I couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't remember anything for very long. So I'd have to walk around with a notebook. So I have tons of these notebooks like everywhere. They've just become part of my life now because I couldn't remember a conversation after I had it. So I'd have to sit there and take notes, every single thing I did, because I couldn't remember for more than like a few minutes. It was very strange.
it's interesting hearing this part of your story too. And you guys will pick up on this here soon because we're going to go into your some of your successes in real estate and kind of how this has played a part. But two things come to mind for me. One was diligence and consistency. A lot of us, whether it's in real estate, in our personal lives, we go, hey, where's the one hit wonder? Where's the miracle pill, the miracle shot that I can just take and keep going? And the fact that you kind of burned the boats, it was, this is an all or nothing. And I think a lot of people are there in their businesses right now where it's a, this is an all or nothing. Like this is either going to work or I'm done. And in this case, it was your health. It was a, your lights out if it doesn't work, or you're just going to be in a lot of pain for the rest of your life. But you sought out what you had to do. You sought out the coach that you needed, the right person with the right information. You listened and applied it, right? How many of us do that? A show of hands or drop it in the comments here. How many of you guys, you get a coach and you think it's a la carte? Well, they said do this, this, and this, but this is my most fun thing, so I'm gonna do just this. It doesn't work, right? If you were like, I'm gonna eat hamburgers and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, but I'll have a salad for dinner, and that totally counts, right? That's not how it works. It's not a la carte. And I would say the third thing with that was you had already made an impact on your community. A lot of us underestimate our actions when interacting with other people, right? A lot of times it's gimme, 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 okay, do you need something? Versus give, give, give. And when that opportunity presents itself, most people want to give back. And it doesn't mean you were handing out money. It doesn't mean that you were constantly on the phone with people helping them through a tough time. You were present and you did the right thing. So fast forwarding in your business to where you are the last 2 to 3 years, because you've had some major strides even in the last 3 years. Tell us what your struggles were. I think it was, 2 or 3 years ago? You were kind of like in a, I don't want to be in business anymore. I'm not sure if this is even for me. Why am I struggling, right? You hit that plateau or that wall.
Yeah.
Tell us where you were at that time. Like what was going on?
So speaking of struggles, in 2016, most of our area, like in Lafayette and this whole southern area, completely flooded. My house flooded completely unexpectedly, and I didn't have flood insurance at the time, and it was a complete fluke because normally I do have flood insurance, but because I was busy, I sent my mom to go pay my homeowners and my flood, and she didn't know it was two separate things. Oh, so no. I remember calling my insurance agent as the flooding is happening and saying, hey, do we have contents covered? Because I'm thinking, okay, well, let me at least move furniture upstairs and like do that kind of stuff. And she's like, Teresa, have you paid your policy? I'm like, yeah, my mom went in, like she got it for me. She's like, no, she did not pay the flood part and your policy is lapsing. And I saw my entire life just end right before my eyes. Cause like, I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna flood and there's nothing I can do about it. Like my life is over. I don't know. It was just, so we did what we could. We went to the house, we put everything upstairs and the house flooded. Like we came back the next day and the house, like we couldn't even get to our house. Like the water was so high. We had to park down the street and wade into our house. And people, the neighbors were actually out there like trying to like pump water out of our house and from the front porch or whatever. And I couldn't even do anything. I was just standing there like, oh my God, like this is happening. Like, what do we do? And once the water receded, people came to start helping like pull everything out of the house. Well, at that time, my husband, I guess we had differences about accepting help from the community. He felt like it was our own fault. And I'm like, I got 5 kids to worry about. So you can either jump on board or whatever. And he left. He left.
Really?
So all of a sudden, I'm a single mom, 5 kids in a house that is really not livable. And I had, there were, when they pulled up the parquet wood flooring, underneath all of it was asbestos. So once somebody figured out that it was asbestos, none of the contractors would even touch my house. Nobody would touch it. So I had to like lay cardboard over these, like over the floors, which it was like a tar paper mastic with asbestos. And so this whole huge space in our house, like living room area, was just covered with cardboard for months. And I was living in a house with the kids with cardboard floors for like 6 months before people actually came in, like volunteers came in from out of state to help. And I stayed at my mom's for a little while, but she has this little bitty condo. So like five kids, tiny condo, neighbors, people upstairs, people downstairs. I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So we did what we had to do, but it was a really rough time. Obviously our entire town was hit. So like real estate at the time, we, you know, having to just kind of recover and clean stuff up and all the stuff that had to go along with the flooding took time out. So I was really in a bad spot. So, I did what I could. My mom helped out. We got what little funding we could get from whatever we could do. But then after that, it was like, okay, you know, I was just trying to figure it out. I was like, I'm either going to have to figure this out in real estate or I'm going to have to go do something else. And it was like, I'd have good months and it would give me some positive encouragement. And then we'd have slow months and I'm almost like having to go ask family. And I was like, I did not want to ask family for help, you know? And then at some point it just got to the point where it was like, okay, I either have to make this happen, like this has to work, or I have to do something else. Like, and I knew that with real estate, like there wasn't really a ceiling, and with everything else, there was a ceiling. And I just thought, if I get a job, I'm going to be fired in the first week. Like there's going to, you know, kids going to throw up at school. I'm not to go get them. Like somebody, you know, like somebody's going to break a leg.
You've been an entrepreneur for so long that it's like, going and working somewhere else, like a corporate-y job, just
sounds terrible.
Weird.
But, yeah. But you know, you got to do what you got to do. But at some point I realized like if I continued on the path that I was on for another 5 years, like I was going to lose everything. You know, I was just looking at it from like, if I continue doing what I'm doing today for the next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, what is my life going to look like? And it looked extremely grim. Not just for me, but for my children too. I'm like, what are we going to do? Are we going to end up like on welfare? Like, am I going to have to like sell my house and like go into a homeless shelter? Like what the heck, you know, I mean, I would hope that would never happen. Like I would hope that I had enough friends and family support that that wouldn't happen. But those types of thoughts,
time, those are possibilities that it looked possible, which is scary as a mom, scary as a business owner, scary as a person, right? It's, and you're the only one.
Yeah.
Who's there that can do anything about it? Like it all comes down to you. Are you going to take action or are you going to run away? So what decision that you made? I mean, it sounds like you made that decision at that time. Like I'm not backing down. What did you do at that point then to change your trajectory?
It was an instant mindset shift. Like I was like, I have to get focused. I got extremely focused on what I wanted. I got extremely focused on what I had to do every day and I did it. Like I just completely did it. In fact, I kind of like wrote a few things down, but, so one of the things that I did immediately was I cut out all distractions. So like, if I knew that from 9 to 10, I was going to be doing marketing and lead gen for today, like everything else was completely all the distractions. I was behind a door closed with a sign on it that said, do not disturb. And like, even in the office, it was like, nope, sorry, can't chat. Can't, we don't have gossip time in the lobby anymore. Like, I can't do this. I got stuff to do. It was like very, very focused. And, yes, I lost friends in the process because I wasn't just there for them at any given moment to give my time or to like, you know, and some of it wasn't necessarily negative. It's just that, you know, like some of them would, we would go on walks in the morning and stuff in the neighborhood at the office. And it's like, I had to cut all of that out, all of it, everything, and had to get so focused that I knew when I was coming into the office, I was going to do these tasks that I had to do, like what a coach would tell you to do every day and not get distracted by anybody, like anyone. Even if it meant losing friends over it, which did happen, but you also gain a lot of friends too. You gain a lot of people in your life that are doing better things, that are, you know, more successful. And then I had to set some serious boundaries with people, even like my mom. And I feel bad for talking about it, but it's true because she would be the first one to text me all the time during the day or just like walk in my house.
Yeah, what you doing? Why aren't you answering me?
Yeah.
Forget about me. Hey.
Yeah. Because everybody knows that realtors actually don't do anything. We just sit on our couch eating bonbons all day and we're just texting. And that's like, you know, we get dressed to go show houses from time to time.
We're
like
selling the sunset and, and sip on coffee. That's all we do.
Yep. That's all we do. Yeah. So, so I had to even set some boundaries with family about when it was okay and appropriate to contact me. And, you know, like that I have a job just like everybody else. And that 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, you really don't need to be texting me. Like it can wait, you know.
And if you do, expect I'm not replying. It's okay to do it, but I'm not picking the phone up. So I'm not dead.
Yeah.
I'm just being productive.
Yeah. And it took a while to get some of the, and it took like having to be like enforcing those rules a few times, quite a few times. Sometimes it still happens. And, but yeah. And so that helped me to get extremely focused too. And then the other side of it was that I had to learn to sacrifice some of the things that I normally would not want to sacrifice, like picking up my kids in the afternoon at school and being there for every single little event and like doing all these things. But it was like, okay, do I let them go to aftercare or get picked up by somebody else and brought home and whatever, or like, and actually have a future for them where they can have better schools and, you know, better extracurricular and a better home and all that
over their head that didn't have asbestos or mold or whatever else is probably happening after that flood. Like, you know, it's a tough decision.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, do I, you know, do that and just hustle and leave those little things alone and not worry about it for now? Or am I there for them 24/7 and we just end up on welfare or something? So that was also kind of a shift, because it hurt at first to not be there for every single little thing. But it also is a big plus to be able to say that, okay, well, now I can send my kids to a school where I want them to go to school, or they can have those extracurricular, you know, things that they've wanted to do. And, you know, just all over being able to provide in a much better way, just because I'm staying extremely focused, you know?
Mm-hmm. So the last 2 years or so, because I know that obviously that was back in 2016, wasn't it? When kind of everything kind of hit.
And 2018 was probably when I really, 2018, 2019 is when I really, really, really got focused and kind of told everybody to shove it so I could work.
And that's an important piece too. And I'll add to that. I was the same way. Like when I came into the office, my first year in real estate, I worked from home. And then I told my team lead, I said, look, the only way I'm coming into the office and getting an office is if it has a window. Because I made a pact with myself. Several years earlier, I worked for 2 years in an office inside of a warehouse where I sold construction materials, and there was no windows. Mm-hmm. And for 2 years, I would come in just before the sun, just after the sun came up, and go out just as the sun was about to go down. And I hated every minute of it. And I promised myself I would never be in an office space that didn't have a window. And I told them that, well, turns out the broker in charge had an office window within a window. And they were like, yeah, we're going to move her to an interior office, because she wasn't in very often anyway. And they're like, we've got it open for you. You should come in. And I'm like, okay. So, but I would sneak in the back door and like skirt my way around the back of the office and run into my office. And it wasn't that I disliked anyone, but I also knew that's when I was going to be productive. Like, for example, I was, you know, one of the top agents in the office. By year three, I was number one in the office. And yet I still wouldn't always show up for the team meetings. Reason being, they would go for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I was right in the time. So I was like, well, aren't you coming to a team meeting? I'm like, if you can get it knocked out in 30 minutes, I'll come. But I can't come for 3 hours just to be a face. Like, none of the information you're giving me is going to be helpful. I need to set appointments.
Yeah.
So it's when I did that, there were some that were like, oh, well, you're not a good leader. That's okay. You can think whatever you want of me. I'm going to go sell houses because that's what I'm good at. So being very clear and having your boundaries is extremely important. So from like 2019 on, you had massive growth. So share with us what that looked like once you buckled down on that.
Yeah. So once I buckled down, I mean, everything just kind of exploded. It's like once I turned it on, and now I can do that. Like now I can like turn it off when I want to, and I can chill. And then turn it back. And even when I turn it off, it still keeps going. But then I can turn it on and it can really, really go. But yeah, from 2019, I went from, I don't know, it was like sporadic sales, you know, whatever, to having consistent six-figure income, you know, throughout the course of the year. And it was just, I don't know, it was just amazing because I finally felt like I figured it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like, and I remember messaging people this, like, I just can't figure it out. Like, I feel like there's something missing and I just can't put my finger on it.
What's that one piece?
And it was that, it was really the focus piece, to be honest. But I don't know, it exploded. And one of the things I remember hearing somebody one time that was speaking and she was getting an award and they were like, what was the one thing that you did? And she's like, well, I never said no to a prospect, or I never said no to a lead. So like every single lead, every single thing that she, you know, came her way, she would at least try to, you know, turn it into money, which is pretty brilliant if you're, you know, in that position where you don't have a lot yet. But yeah, so it went from just, you know, making phone calls myself, doing everything myself, to starting to leverage out. And once I started to leverage out is when things really started to explode. So my first hire was a TC, my transaction coordinator. And
if you're watching this, get yourself a transaction coordinator, please.
Yes.
It will make a world of difference. If we're good at sales, we're usually not good at paperwork. Putting it out there.
And it's so time consuming. So like if I'm trying to do these tasks where, you know, I'm trying to do marketing or I'm trying to do lead gen and follow up and I'm trying to negotiate contracts and go on appointments, then that's very time consuming if you have to stop in the middle of it and do the paperwork. So it's much easier to hand that off to somebody else. And then you have more time to stay focused on making those calls and building those relationships and stuff like that. So from
you're always more
continue to leverage.
Always, like, don't kid yourself that you're the best at that. It's paperwork. Someone else can absolutely be the best at that. You don't have to be the best at that.
I am not the best at that. Like, I can tell you, whenever I first started working at the company that I work for now, they use SkySlope, and I'd never used SkySlope before, and I never learned how to use it. I know how to kind of do it now because I had to, but yeah.
More than me, I still haven't figured out. I can submit my files. That's about it. We still use .loop. I was like, nah, I'm used to .loop. I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. So if there is any, like most of the time, I don't even know how to do those things. If I had to do them, I would have to ask my TC how to make it work, because it's just not something that I don't need to know it. If I have somebody else that does it, then I don't necessarily need to know it. So yeah. So then the leveraging obviously allowed more time for me to be on the phone and building those relationships. So then it just grew and continued to grow. And then as it continued to grow, and of course, you know, I feel like a lot of my business is attraction based marketing. People see me online, they see what I'm doing, they see my energy, they want to, you know, be involved, they want to do stuff. And so then I had people contacting me to start flipping houses with them, like investors that wanted to do that. And so I started looking for houses to flip. And next thing you know, we're like flipping a house a month. And I mean, of course, it's a lot of fun, you know, but it's also a lot of work. And so definitely I've gotten, you know, I've had challenging situations even within the last year, adjusting to having all this extra responsibility and having to make decisions about, you know, what's working and what's not, you know, and what do I need to, like, either create more leverage or like go through and see what leverage is actually working and making me more money and what is just a waste of money. And those are things that are really important to figure out and learn along the way too, as you grow bigger. But there's absolutely a way to get over that hump. And really it's just about getting the consistent leads in all the time. So you have to be consistently on the phone. It doesn't just magically come out of it doesn't magically come out of the thin air. You have to consistently be marketing and being present in the community and showing your face and showing what you're doing. And you also have to be consistently on the phone every single day.
Do you guys hear that? Every single day. The consistency of doing it is what's going to get you. Now, I know we've run slightly over, so thank you for sticking with us. Question for you as we finalize this for some of our viewers here. There are people that are newer. There are people that are struggling right now. There are people that are going through personal struggles and kind of wondering, okay, do I just throw in the towel? What would be your number one thought or recommendation for those that have gone through or are having similar struggles to what you did that will help get them through the other side?
Gosh, there's so many things I could say, Okay. One. So I'll say that confidence is the biggest factor in success. That's probably the biggest factor in success. So whatever you have to do to be confident in front of a camera, to be confident on a podcast, to be confident on a phone with a client, to be confident making a phone call, or a cold call, whatever you have to do to feel confident, do that. I don't care what it is. I mean, go work out at the gym, go get a tummy tuck, go get your nose. Like, I'm just making funny stuff up, but like, you know, go get your nails done. I don't care. But it's like, if you feel confident, you know, sometimes that means getting rid of toxic relationships. Just saying, just throwing that out there. But yeah, it's whatever you have to do to feel confident will get you through those crappy days when you don't want to call people, you don't want to be on the phone, you don't want to do these things that you have to do. But if you're not doing them consistently, then the leads won't come consistently and the sales won't come consistently. So, you know, you can have a roller coaster business or you can have a consistent business. And that's where, you know, there's a big difference between the two.
I love that. I love that. And I'll add to that, action equals confidence. Take action repeatedly and you'll build the confidence muscle. So Teresa, thank you so much for being on. It was great chit-chatting and hopefully everybody took a bunch of notes. So tune in next week. We are going to have another rock star agent on 8:30 a.m. on Thursdays. Teresa, thank you again. Good to see you as always.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Bye guys.
For more information and to follow along, be sure to follow at Kayla Lindsay Realtor on all social media platforms.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.